Father, we just thank you, Lord, that Anne is so confident she's going to be up. I pray we're all as confident as Anne is that whenever it is that you, our life is done here on this earth and in this flesh, that we go up and we meet you and we'll be as you are, as we read in 1 John chapter 3, that you are glorified and we will see you as you are because we will be as you are. So we thank you, Lord, for the confidence of that. And that confidence really begins with the birth of Jesus, with your birth, Jesus, with your gift, O Heavenly Father, of yourself coming to live in our flesh and pay our debt. So we are debt-free. Hallelujah. We are debt-free. We thank you for that, and we come to praise you for that. So hear our praises. Come, pour your Spirit out upon us. Let us enjoy your peace and your presence. Cleanse us from all uncleanness, Lord. Let no unclean thing remain into this place now. Cleanse us all, each and every one. Cleanse this empire, building, and property. Let no demonic forces of any kind remain in here, because by the authority given to each and every one of us in Christ Jesus, we bind you, we cast you out. You are not welcome here, and you cannot remain. You alone we glorify, Lord, so be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's Christmas Day, and we're in church. The last several, I've been here for 30 years, and I recall we've always been here on Christmas Day, if it fell on a Sunday. Last time was 2016, the time before that was 2011, and the time before that was 2005, I think. And then before that was 1994, and I was even here then. I may not have been here that day. Don't remember. Could have gone to see my parents that year. But what is a wonderful event to just celebrate every year the birth of our Savior. I know there's controversy about it at times, but I don't get it. Let us just celebrate the beginning of the new covenant, just as we celebrate the resurrection, just as we celebrate Pentecost. That's one of my other favorite days to never forget. We celebrate this time of year, even though it's not in the Bible. We don't know exactly when it is, but all these scriptures are in the Bible. And so why not celebrate it? God, because of his great love for us, sends us his Son to be born of a woman with the purpose to redeem us, to buy us back from the ways of this world, and to adopt us as his very own sons and daughters. What an awesome God. I've done messages before about the shepherds and this wonderful story, and I'm led to again look at the shepherds and read how God sent his angels to make the first announcement that Jesus the Christ is born. So we'll start the story in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. So we're going to read the story, and I want you to enter into the story with us, with me. We're going to go. We're going to the hillside in Bethlehem. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Please go with me there now. We'll put ourselves there. We're with the shepherds. We're at work. We live out here. We're doing our jobs. We're shepherds. We're tending the sheep as they are out in their fields. We have our tents to stay in at night, and while some are sleeping, we are keeping watch over the sheep to protect them from nighttime predators and from thieves. It's our turn to keep watch, and the watch is said to be 3 hours. Why were shepherds chosen as the first on earth to hear the strange and glorious news of the birth of the Savior of the world? Shepherds were a lowly bunch. Their professions made them ceremonially unclean and kept them from worshiping in the temple for very long stretches of time. The Talmud, which is the oral rules to live by for Jewish people, tell us that the shepherds were not allowed in courts even as witnesses. They were unreliable. It also says that the sheep intended for the daily sacrifices in the temple were fed in the Bethlehem pastures, where we are right now. These were the lambs that were intended for the daily sacrifices twice a day. Remember, one in the morning, one in the evening. So actually, this is a semi-sacred occupation of our shepherds. And perhaps it influenced these poor workers, knowing they are actually preserving the sacrificial lambs, and especially fitted for them to be then perhaps the first recipients of the glad tidings of the one true Lamb of God. But it's also an illustration or an example, perhaps, of the coming Christian church, where the meek and the humble are exalted and lifted up. Matthew Henry's commentary said, "See here how the shepherds were employed. They're abiding in the fields, adjoining to Bethlehem, and keeping watch over their flocks by night. The angel was not sent to the chief priests or the elders, for they were not prepared to receive these tidings. Plain men were. But they come to a company of poor shepherds who were like Jacob, just plain men dwelling in tents, not like Esau, who was a cunning hunter. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were all shepherds. Moses, called by God to lead his people out of Egypt, and David, called by God to be the second king of Israel and the greatest warrior king of Israel, were called from keeping sheep to rule God's people." And so by this instance, God would show that he still had favor for those of that innocent employment, that simple task, take care of the sheep. They were not sleeping in their beds when this news was brought to them, but abiding in the fields and watching. Those that would hear from God must stir themselves up, it was written. They were wide awake, and therefore they could not be deceived in what they saw and heard as those who might have been half asleep or just awakened by it. They were busy with their work, but not in acts of devotion, but in the business of their calling. They were keeping watch over the flock to secure the flock from thieves and beasts of prey. So please see in this commentary he wrote, "We are not out of the way of divine visits when we're employed in an honest calling and we simply abide with God in our work." And then suddenly an angel of the Lord appears. You still there with me? The glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and they were terrified. They're thinking, what's going on? We look at each other. We look back at the angel. Do you have the bulletin? Look at that angel. It's big. Be kind of scary. Bam! Appears. We're stunned into silence. We're backing up. We're crouching down in fear of what this might mean. And then the angel speaks and said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Good tidings of great joy, the word says, which will be to all people. We're thinking now as the shepherds on the hillside, oh, praise God, I wasn't sure this was going to be good. But it is. The good news, the gospel, was first given to Jewish shepherds, the salt of the earth of God's chosen people. Not the chief priests, not the elders, not even the king. But this is good news for all people. If we read in Genesis 12:3, God tells Abraham that all the peoples on all the earth will be blessed through Abraham, through his seed. And the seed there is singular, his seed. Not everybody born of him, but his seed, the one, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And this is the fulfillment now of that promise. The angel continues, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." So right here we see three positions in succession that Jesus represents. He is a Savior. It says right here, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior. He is one that will make us safe. He will deliver us. He will preserve us. He will make us alive again. And who will cause us also to escape the grip of this world. He's the Savior. He's the one who will restore us to a righteous and right standing with God and be right in God's eyes. And then it says, Savior, who is Christ. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the one selected by God, the one promised by God. And then it says, who is Christ? The Lord. He is the Lord. He's the creator of heaven and earth, coming to earth in the form of a person, just like you and me, and also in the form of just a brand new baby. The angel kind of indicates through this it's not to be kept a secret. You may proclaim it. You may tell it to whoever you please to tell it to. He is born in a place where it was foretold that he should be born, in the city of David. He is born to you Jews. He's saying to the shepherds, he is sent to you first to bless you, and to you shepherds, though poor and lowly in the eyes of the world. And this kind of refers us back to Isaiah chapter 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. To you, man, not to us angels. He took not on him the nature of angels, but the nature of mankind. Your nature and mine. This is a matter of joy indeed to all people. The one longed for, that we've been looking for, has come at last. And remember the setting. There hasn't been a prophet for 400 years in Israel. They were really thinking something must be coming. And so let heaven and earth rejoice before this Lord, for he has come. So you still there with me in the field? What great news and great joy we are beginning to feel, for God has sent his angel to us, to you and to me, to tell us that our salvation is at hand. And then, as we are still stunned, suddenly a great company of angels appear with the angel, and they're praising God. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, the great company, thousands upon thousands. In one place in the Old Testament, a great company is described as 10,000 times 10,000. Can you imagine that? Thousands upon 10,000, 10,000 times 10,000. A great company appear, and they're praising God. What a sight. Can you hear them as they praise God in unison, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. We just sang it. They declare God's glory, and that through this Savior, God is declaring his goodwill to all mankind, his favor upon all mankind. And that finally, that peace will be established between God and mankind through this Savior. When we talk about the peace of the season, that's the peace we're talking about. Not peace in this world, but peace between us and our Creator. Oh, what a chorus that must have been. What a glorious sound that must have been. One can imagine that this event never, ever left the hearts of these shepherds. Then when the angels left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds turned to one another and said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go. Let's check it out. This is amazing. Can't you just see these guys? They're running to the tents now, and they're waking up the sleeping shepherds. They're supposed to be awakened anyway for the next watch. And they tell them, oh, you should have seen what just happened. An angel of the Lord came to us and told us that this very day, the Savior we have been looking for has been born in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is just down the hill. Then he told us how to find this baby. And then a whole host, 10,000s of angels, appeared and praised God. It was the most beautiful sound we've ever heard. You guys, get up and watch the sheep. We're going to go to Bethlehem to see the Christ. The poor sleepy shepherds, they don't know what to think about their compatriots. And they're not really sure what they're even saying. But all they see now is the backs of their robes, their backs of their bodies and their flowing robes as they run down the hillside to Bethlehem. So are you and I running with them now? Are we running down that hillside? Is this not our example? Should we not run to see the Savior as soon as we have heard of him? So let's see what happens next. Luke 2, Continuing the story in verse 16. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So they've hurried off. They came with great haste, found Mary and Joseph and the baby. One of the other commentaries I like, Adams Clark's, he wrote, all delays are dangerous, but he who delays to seek Jesus, when the angels, when the messengers of God bring glad tidings to him, glad tidings of salvation, risks his present safety and his eternal happiness. So true. Think about it. How did they locate this couple and their child in a village that was full of people who were there to register for the census? It's not hard to suppose that there could probably very few babies were born that day. Perhaps Jesus was the only one. And the angel told the shepherds the babe would be found in a manger, so there was no need to search around in the houses or in the inns, but only to the stalls where the animals were kept. Certainly there were no other babies lying in a manger. And of course we know also that the Lord can lead us to wherever he wants us to go if we are just willing to follow his lead. And so the shepherds did. And what is that point of the swaddling clothes? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. The swaddle is to wrap that newborn baby in long, narrow bands of cloth. And these swaddling cloths are those long, narrow bands of cloth that one would use to tightly wrap a newborn lamb. So they would be there, right here next to where they would take the lambs out of the field to preserve them for the next sacrifice, because they had to keep the lamb from harming itself. They had to keep the lamb perfect, otherwise it wouldn't be an adequate sacrifice. It needs to be unblemished to be used as a sacrifice in the temple. And a baby so swaddled would also be a brand new baby, a newborn. So they would have no need to look for a child, anything but a newborn. Not a toddler, not some baby walking around. Making this baby identifiable over all the other babies who were obviously older. Again, from Adam Clark's, he wrote, you shall find this glorious person, however strange it may appear, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a stable. It is by humility that Christ comes to reign. And this is the only way into his kingdom. Pride is the character of all the children of Adam. Pride. Humility is the mark of the Son of God and all of his followers. You see why we need to be born again. So we will be born in humility instead of in pride. Christ came in the way of humility to destroy that pride, which is the root of the evil of all and all souls of all men. The sign, it seems, was to consist solely of the overpowering contrast between the lofty things that were just said of him by the angel and the lowly condition in which they would find him. And finally, he gives them a sign for the confirming of their faith. The angel does. How shall we find this child in Bethlehem, which is now full of the descendants of David? Well, you'll find him by this sign. He is lying in a manger, where surely never any newborn infant was ever laid before. They expect to be told, you shall find him, though a babe, dressed up in robes, lying in the best house in the village, lying in state, being worshipped with numerous attendants in rich attire around him. But no, the angel said, no, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Can you imagine the conversations that took place when the shepherds found Mary and Joseph? Surely the shepherds would tell of the words the angel spoke to them, and that this child is the long-awaited Savior. He is the anointed one of God to save the world. And surely they would tell the great heavenly host, the 10,000s of thousands, praising God and how glorious it sounded. And they would likely repeat the heavenly host and even how they said it, the angel, exactly, word for word, perhaps even trying to imitate it. And Joseph and Mary would no doubt tell the shepherds about the angel Gabriel visiting to each one of them at separate occasions. Remember, Gabriel didn't visit them together. Gabriel saw Mary first, then came to Joseph in a dream. And that angel Gabriel told them that this child would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. And they would tell how this happened before they were even fully married, that this child was truly born by the power of God. They would explain, no, we were just betrothed. We weren't really married. It was not consummated. When the shepherds found him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. There was evidence enough to satisfy them that what the angel said was true, or they wouldn't even have gone to Bethlehem. But having seen the child now themselves, having no doubt talked with Joseph and Mary and shared their testimonies, what the angel said to all of them, they now had all the evidence they needed to satisfy others. And accordingly, they became the first preachers of the gospel, the very first ones. And they went and proclaimed to others that the Messiah had come. One of the first duties of those who are newly converted to God, I read, and this was in Barnes' notes, another commentary, one of the first duties of those who are newly converted to God and a duty in which they delight is to proclaim to others what they have seen and felt. Do we do that enough? Proclaim to others what we know to be true. This should be our response, should it not? About our salvation, having found, or maybe we should say, have being found by the Savior of the world. Remember, Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you. You've been chosen. And it says, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds were saying. The entire village was stirred. And it was full of people. It is odd that there is not much written about this great commotion. I get the impression that there may have been many, many visitors to see the baby in the first few days, having heard all of what the shepherds said. But perhaps maybe when they got to see the baby, they were underwhelmed, not overwhelmed. They weren't that impressed. It seems as though it was big news maybe only for a day or two. And then people went about their business and forgot about the fantastic story the shepherds told them. Perhaps they thought maybe they weren't even really sober at the time. But perhaps it was just too unbelievable to the common mind to believe that the Messiah was born in such a lowly and helpless way. The little tiny town of Bethlehem, not a raging king. Most people of the day expected the Messiah to appear on the scene, as David did. They didn't see him when he was born. They saw him when he came out as a young man. And the Bible describes him as handsome and ruddy. And he slayed the giant. Whoa, that's unforgettable. But not as a helpless little baby. Most people of the day did not have an angel come to them and tell them what the meaning of this birth was for the whole world. Think of what motivated the shepherds. Think of what motivated Mary and Joseph. They had an angel come to them and speak to them. I believe that would turn my heart a little bit more than just reading the story. But now we continue to read the story and let it stir our hearts. As all this commotion was going on around this baby, the baby's mother, we read, was just soaking it all in, treasuring these things that kept happening around her. And around this baby of hers, as she pondered them in her heart, she knew her child was, in some mysterious sense, the Son of God, a glorious being, not of this earth. Now, she believed, but still it was unbelievable to be living it. The angel Gabriel told her that her boy would be the Savior of Israel. And the visits now of these rough shepherds to her in a crowded little cave, finding them, and they're strange, but quiet and circumstantial story about the angels visiting them was only just another link in this wondrous chain of events, which was day by day influencing Mary's very young and pure life. She remembered what the angel said to her, what had happened to Elizabeth, she remembered that, and to the shepherds, all the extraordinary circumstances which attended the birth of her son, and they just kept coming. But as at first, when the angel Gabriel spoke to her, so at each new phase of her life, she bowed herself in quiet, trustful faith and waited and thought and pondered. Some think she wrote them down and later shared them with the apostles. Some say that as we read the book of Luke, Luke obviously spent time with Mary. and he wrote them down as Mary told him the stories. Now we see the shepherds return to their flocks in the field, but they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I love this picture that the Word paints for us. They're transformed. This one event transformed them. I remember an event or two in my life that transformed me. You remember yours? The shepherds were in a hurry to get into Bethlehem and found, after searching for this Christ child, their Messiah, they found him. And after seeing the child, they spread the word, all that had been told them. And all who heard them were amazed. And now they're just returning to their work, but still, praising God, transformed men. Can you imagine how their fellow shepherders reacted to them? Some may have thought to them to be crazy, but others who knew them perhaps became really excited with this good news of the Messiah being born. Perhaps they returned from the work, albeit completely changed men, but perhaps these other shepherds ran to Bethlehem at their first chance to go see this very same baby that excited their brothers. But here we see the shepherds then, they just went back to their work, but transformed. And is it not the same with us? Are we not called by God to return to our work after we have had this supernatural encounter with Jesus, but changed as men and women? We are different now, men and women. We return to our work, but now we work as if we're working for the Lord. We return to our work to which God has called us, but we exhibit such a different attitude because of our supernatural encounter that cannot be unnoticed now by those around us. And so now we let Christ be born in us, revealed in us, and we'll let him change our world, and through us change the world around us. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, another great example of how you want us to react to knowing you, to finding you, or to being found by you. Forgive us, Lord, in our complacency at times. Perhaps we lose our level of zeal, but renew the zeal within us that this is such a precious thing. And let us have that zeal renewed that we can nurture that life of Christ in us, that it can be revealed in us, that we can be your ambassadors wherever you send us, and we can let Christ, through us, change the world around us. So hear our prayer, Lord, and help us in our low estate to be all you call us to be, as you have revealed yourself to us now, just as you revealed yourself to those lowly shepherds. Praise your holy name. Amen. Hallelujah.